Kabbalistic influence has or has not been on some of the practices surrounding creation. So we should begin first with the, in this handout, the first page of tonight's handout, page 203, my numbers, with the Mishnah and Olives. The Mishnah Chet, in Parak Aleph and Olives, says, Mapayim ba'arba'im u'shmona eva'im ba'adam. A man has 248, and I guess the only way we can translate eva'im are limbs, that's the usual standard translation, but the word means, as we see in this Mishnah, bones. Shloshim, so let's see the count of the bones. Shloshim v'pisat ha-regel, 30 in each foot. Shisha v'chal etzva, asara v'chosal, shnayim v'shuk, hamisha v'yakova, echad v'yarech, shlosha v'chablit, echad asad zva'ot, etc., etc. So the Mishnah lists the total number of bones in the human.
Is this accurate?
Question is, what does it mean? Is it accurate? How would you find out what the total number of bones are in a person? Well, before the age of x-rays, they would have to do something else. So what you would do, of course, is strip as much flesh off, you'd get a corpse, first of all, which is a little problematical. Then you would strip off most of the flesh in the corpse, and then you would boil it to dissolve the cartilage, or boil it carefully, in such a way that you can keep track of the different parts, and then of the various different bones would separate from one another, and then you count. Right? The problem with your question as to whether it is accurate or not is because the end result of this particular experiment is going to depend upon the age of the individual that you're doing this to. Because obviously a young child, a growing child, for example, will not have all of the bones solidly fused together. Right? The most obvious is in a baby's skull, where you can actually see the open areas. So this process of fusing together, it's called epiphysis or something like that, is part of the growing process. So if you did this experiment on a woman and on a man, you might get a different answer. And if you did this experiment on a man, depending upon whether you did it on an 8-year-old boy or a 2-year-old boy or a 16-year-old man or a 21-year-old man or a person who's completely fully grown where all of these things are fused, you'd get a different answer. Oh.
Some bones would be too small for them to know about.
Well, I don't know. So, and therefore, there are some bones which may or may not be too small. So therefore, the answer to the question of whether this is accurate is no, it is not accurate unless you can tell me precisely what age and what gender this was.
Does it correspond to age?
Yeah, so people who have been, I'm not a physician, right? So I haven't done an independent experiment on this. I can only report to you what is in one of the standard books on the subject, which is HaTalmud BaHaRefuah, by Captain Alan Bolton. And his, according to his report, this fits more or less with a 16-year-old male. Now, that's what he said. So the answer to your question is, no, it's not quite accurate because the question as stated isn't quite meaningful, but within the realm of fluctuation, it's reasonably accurate. You can find a man of a certain age which will have this number of separate bones which will be separated by some particular process. Okay, so in that sense, it's semi-accurate. The trouble, of course, is that whatever this number, accurate or not, it sort of became fixed in the tradition. So, for example, you have the famous Gemara in Makot, which I quote next on that same page. There are 613 total commandments were given to Moses. There are 365 negative commandments corresponding to the number of days in the year. And 248 positive commandments corresponding to the number, instead of using bones, I'll use limbs, because that's the usual standard translation, but more accurately, it would be bones. It's according to the 248 number of limbs in the man. Okay, so we sort of attach fix a number of 248 to stand for, correspond to the number of positive commandments. Now, 365 for the number of negative commandments, and I need not tell you how much trouble this numerology has caused over the ages trying to decide exactly which are the 248 positive commandments and which are the 365 negative commandments.
What's the relationship between the Shammai and the Yod? Why should it one be the negative commandments?
That's not my concern. My concern is a slightly different variant of the use of this number 248. And that's in my second page in tonight's handout, which is this article by Tushma. By Professor Tushma, that's his name. What his original name is, I don't know, but his name is Yisrael Tushma. And this is article on page 204 in my handout, in which Professor Tushma is analyzing the notion of saying or not saying Kael Melech Ne'aman before the recital of Shema. And let's just read from the second paragraph on that page. He says that the first literary source that we find complete as far as the question of saying Kael Melech Ne'aman before Kriya Shema is in the book Shibolei Halek. And this is what it says. V'ha-koreyat Shema, someone who reads Kriyat Shema, Sarik Shiyachil Kael Melech Ne'eman. You're supposed to say these three words, Kael Melech Ne'eman, before the recital of the Kriyat Shema. L'fi, Masha Darshu Rabotenu Zal V'Tanchuma, Parshat Shema, in the Medrash Tanchuma, in our Medrash Tanchuma it occurs someplace else, but no matter, it's in the Medrash. Amar Rabbi Manar Barav, Lo tehe kriyat shema kala ve'inecha. Don't take the mitzvah of reciting the Shema lightly. Shaharei re'arayv memchet. It has 248 words. There are 248 words in the kriyat shema, in the three parshiyot of the kriyat shema. Keneged ramach evarim sheva adam, which correspond to the 248 limbs of man. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you take care to mention the 248 words in the Shema, and you read them appropriately, I will guard your 248 limbs. In other words, the recital of the Shema in its entirety will act as a life preservative, because it's a deal that you're making with God. You will say the Shema carefully, and since that contains 248 words, your 248 limbs will be preserved. Okay? And then, of course, the obvious question is, there are not 248 words in the Kriya Shema. That's easier to count than the number of bones in a body. The author of Shibalei Haleket asks, the tema. Shaharei v'shalosh parshiyot shebekriyat shema yesh reish lametet tevot. There's only 239 words, not 248. Because shetosif baruch shen kvod malchuto le'olam va'ed, and even if you add the six words of baruch shen kvod malchuto le'olam va'ed, shehen shesh tevot, but these are six words, harei reish mem hei, that still only leaves you with 245. You're missing three words. And we said, and the Medrash says that there are 248 words. You're missing three words. So the author of the Shibalei Haleket answers, I found in one of the Tshuvot of the Gaonim, the Tariqs Rabbi Daniel Gaon, Zechet Tzadik Lavracha, Rabbi Daniel Gaon, who happens to be the brother of the Baal Ha'aruch, when Natan Baal Ha'aruch answered, Ramatevot Yesh B'Kriyat Shema. There are 245 words in the recital of Kriyat Shema. V'hosifu aleihem keil melech ne'eman, and they added three additional words, keil melech ne'eman, she'en shalosh tevel kedei she'alu l'minyan o'yiz v'entech, in order that the total of 248 words be achieved. K'neged v'machai dorim sheva'adam. V'chein katav avenu shlomo v'parvei shafideh. And similarly, Rashi said the same thing in his Sefer HaParvei that he wrote. So we see from this, writes Professor Kashman, that Daniel, the brother of Natan Bar Yochiel of Rome, the author of the Oral, a contemporary of Rashi, and Rashi himself, they are the first, as far as we know, as far as the information that's of Kedivan Avram Harofenos, who testify on the addition of the three extra words, Keil Melech Me'eman, in order to total up to 248 words. And in order to resolve this problematic statement in the Tanchuma that says that there are 248 words in Kriyat Shema against the 248 in Kabbalah. Okay. And...
So what did people do before that?
Yeah, they added to make it work.
They didn't bother them before that time?
So let's take a look at the second paragraph on the next page, on page 185. We've already seen that this custom, Matsui b'chol sifrei Ashkenaz, we find this in all books in the Ashkenazic community. V'azkir kana remember about Yehuda Afasit, and discover hemshech divrei Sholeh Shavalei Alekit Sham, Eliezer Mirgamaiza, his student, in the Sefer Rokeach, v'chein Avraham ben Azriel, in the Sefer Arugata Bosem, who's also a student of Yehuda Chassid. From this book, one can conclude to prove, that the thing requires some kind of proof, that the question of the equality of the 248 limbs and the words was known in Ashkenaz as something that was self-understood already in the generations before Rashi. Because Avraham ben Azriel said these things as an explanation to the statement Kriyat Shema leminyan Evarim, and etc. Okay. All right. So the answer to your question is we don't know what the origin, how old this medrash of the medrash Tanchuma is, and we certainly don't know whether there was some custom to say Keil Melech Me'eman as a substitute when a person was saying Shema in private. Since he could not answer Amen after Ahavat Olam, if he was dubbing with a tzibur, and whether that got expanded into a whole theoretical discussion. Now, what's the cart and what's the horse? We don't know. But what we do know is that in the old Ashkenazic tradition, there were two things. There was this Medrash Tanchuma. How old it is, we don't know. And we also know that there was this practice of adding these three extra words before, and at some stage, these two things were correlated, namely the notion of saying El Melech Ne'eman before Kriyat Shema was explained as necessary in order to bring the count of 245 up to 248. That's more or less what we know. And that was the situation throughout Ashkenaz. All right, now... Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto is already mentioned in the Gemara. And the Gemara tells us that we say it, but we say it quietly because it was something that Yaakov said and Moshe didn't say, and therefore we say it, but we say it quietly. Okay? But that still only brings you up to 245, and you want to get up to 248. Or do you? Or is the explanation of 248 because you already have the custom of saying Keil Melech Ne'eman for some other reason? But whatever it is, this is a custom which was prevalent throughout Ashkenaz, and as we'll see in a moment, it was also common in Provence, which was in many respects connected closely, halakhically, with the Ashkenazic tradition, but it did not exist at all within the Sephardic community. So let's take a look. Let's read further in Professor Kashma's article. Edut Tisarat Ma'alechet, an additional testimony which is extremely important on the issue of the tradition of saying Keil Melech Ne'eman Ashkenaz, is preserved in a slightly damaged citation of the explanation of Yudgel Munitot and Sirot of Rabbi Yashav Bar David, the nephew of the Raiva, who translated it from an old tradition. ושמעתי מפני בפור חכם ונבון ששמוע רבי שמואל בחבי יעקב מארץ גוי שהעיד כמה גדולים עליו שהוא מגזר עלינו שלמה, that he's welcome to Rashi's family, ושקבלו בידם שאנשי כנסת הגדולה תקנו כאל מלך נאמן. Because it's an ancient tradition going back to אנשי כנסת הגדולה. All that that means is, of course, that the origin of saying it in Ashkenaz is lost and obscured. There was some ancient tradition of saying כאל מלך נאמן. Okay? אולם, writes Professor Tishri, יותר מחשיבותה לגבי הבנת תיר המסורת האשכנזית, in addition to understanding the nature of what the Ashkenazic tradition, ולא חשיבותה של עדות זו לידיעת המצב ששרר אז בפרובנס. We can also understand what was happening in the Provence Jewish community, בשאלת אמירת כאל מלך נאמן. בספר המנהגות רבי יושע בן שאול מילוניל, שנכתב בסיעתו של הרייבר עצמו. This was written with the help of the Raiva himself, so we're now talking about the time of the Raiva. Okay? נאמר בזו הלשון, ונהגו בכל הארצות האלה לומר אהבת עולם אהבתנו, ובסוף הברכה קהל מלך נאמן להשלים רעיש ממחת תיבות של פי עצמה, שהן כנגד רעיש ממחת איברן של האדם. So the custom in Provence as well was to say Kael Melech Ne'eman, to bring the number up to 248 to balance the number of words, be equal to the number of words in the body. Im yishmor adam elu reish nemchet teivot la'amon b'chavana, if someone is careful to say these with a sufficient intent, af ki yishmor ha'kein, im kein, yishmor ha'karish baruch hu eivavim sheba adam shehem reish nemchet. ובואם אחרי שזהו פירש את הסתום בספר האשכל ובאברהם בר יצחק מן אבונה שכתב ובפי השמוע יש בה י"ח אזכרות כנגד י"ח חוליות ורמ"ח תיבות כנגד רמ"ח איברים. So, in other words, to summarize, in Provence as well as in Ashkenaz, the custom was to say Kael Melech Ne'eman. And if we take a look as an important aside at footnote 6 on that same page that Professor Tishby says, ראוי להעיר כאן, it's worthwhile pointing out here, כי דרכי התורה של חכמי פרובנס, the Torah methodology of the sages of Provence, היו דומות לאלה של חכמי צרפת אשכנז, were quite similar to the methodology of the scholars in France and Germany, ושונות בהחלט משבילי התורה והחכמה של חכמי ספרד, עד לאמצע המאה ה-12. Until the middle of the 12th century, there was a marked difference between the modes of reasoning and the traditions, to some extent, in France and Germany on the one hand, and Spain on the other. And as far as these differences were concerned, Provence was closer to the Ashkenazi tradition. Re'ed dvarav shel Rav Ben Zion Benedict, v'mamaro l'toldoto shel merkaz ha'Torah b'Provence, etc. Now, the next major step was that there was one of the great Sephardic scholars who left Spain and visited Provence and was educated there and then came back to Spain, and that was Zrachya Halevi, the author of the Sefer HaMa'or HaKatan, the Baal HaMa'or. And one of the reforms, if you want to use that word, that when Zrachya Halevi introduced into the Sephardic ritual was to introduce this notion of saying Kael Melech Ne'eman before Pirush. So, that was around the time of Zrachya Halevi, which is, he was a contemporary after all of Ramban, or Ramban was a little bit after him. And as everyone knows, one of the major activities of the Ramban was to combat all of the Ramban, as far as his halakhic activities were concerned, you can think as two things. On the one hand, he introduced much of the methodology of the Ashkenazic and French and German traditions into Spain. But on the other hand, on many, many specific points where the Baal HaMor, following the Ashkenazic tradition, disagreed with the Rif, he defended the Rif. So on the one hand, the Ramban introduced the methodology of the Ashkenazic rabbis into the ways of thinking of the Spanish Rabbanim. But on the other hand, on the matter of specific details of ritual or law, he was a staunch defender of the Sephardic path. And therefore, one of the activities of the Ramban was, he was furious at this change that the Zrachya Halevi tried to introduce into the Spanish Machzorim, and he, the Ramban, was going to, and did, uproot this innovation, this new practice of saying Kayan Melech Ne'aman in Spain. Asher v'minhag Sfarad HaKadum, that's what Professor Kishvi has to say, we don't have sufficient literary sources. Most of the actual works of the very early Sephardic authorities are lost to us. Even the third and fourth generation of rabbis there, therefore, for example, we cannot be sure that Mashal al Da'atosha will Yitzhak ibn Gios Bisha Elazu. We don't know what the Ritzkeyot had to say on this. Shaloriganu Dine Tfilah Kriyat Shema Shalom. We don't have his laws of Kriyat Shema. But Rav Yosef ibn Nigash, Nei Dorot Achrav, Lo Matzati Dabar. Afilu Sikrov Anaki Shal of Yehuda of Barcelona, even Rabbi Judah of Barcelona, who were major Talmud of Jesus, Sefer Hitim, Lo Regi Alem Benosim Eru. Even though we can say that perhaps we just don't have enough information, but we can be absolutely sure the whole problem never arose in Spain. As far as this is concerned, silence indicates that there was just simply no discussion at all in Yan Zeh. Shekein lamazaleinu, to our good fortune, nishtamra be'in Yan Zeh te'udah ma'anyenet me'od ve'esefer mu'uchar yachasit. We do find an very interesting but later document, halohu sefer magen avot v'harav Menachem HaMeiri. Rav Meiri was one of the great rabbonim in Provence after the period of the Ramban and the Rashba, or contemporary, Shekatavet Varav Elu Kinera Samuch Lorel Sofa Meyah HaShloshesah. The following was written approximately at the end of the 13th century, to give some dates. Sefer Zenit Kaber Yodo in Bo'am Shel Talmidei HaRamban Le Catalonia La Provence. Then you had a sort of a contrary invasion. The students of the Ramban came from Catalonia, which was formerly under Spanish rule, into Provence. Uva matara lelamed sanigoya an menhaget Provence hakadmonim etnei hakofotehem shel talmidem eru. Shebikshu la'akva. The students of the Ramban, moving from Catalonia into Provence because of the change of ownership of Catalonia, tried to then do the opposite of what the Baal HaMor did, namely introduce the Sephardic ritual into the Provence communities. Ulahatiman l'mesorat ha'mnugot shel ha'raman rabban. Ha'sefer dan ba'asrim v'yarba'en yanim misuk zeh. The book deals with 24 such issues in which the Meiri is trying to defend the Provençal Jewish customs against the attacks from the students of the Ramban. As far as our problem is concerned, here's a quote from the Meiri writing on this issue of whether or not to say Kayan Melech Ne'aman before the Kriyat Shema. Minhag kadum ba'arzot halalu, it's an ancient custom in these lands, meaning Provence, mimei keda, mimei harabanim hagdolim, v'chein be'eretz tzarfat be'ashkenaz, sha'ombim achar v'chad ahavat olam. After the second bracha of Kriyat Shema, after Ahavat Olam is said, Kishibaim lahatchil the Kriyat Shema, when you start to begin the saying of Kriyat Shema, Kael Melech Ne'emah. Ubi emet lo hayamin hadzeh lo be'eretz ha'ma'arav, We haven't found this in the Western African communities, below the Eretz Yisrael, nor do we find this custom amongst the Jews in Israel, below the Eretz HaMizrach, v'gam lo be'eretz Catalonia, nor did we find this custom in Catalonia, asher haita mikodem, which was formerly b'klal Eretz Svara, which was formerly part of the Spanish territory. V'chein higia liyadeinu machzorim li'eretz Catalonia k'tuvim mizman kodim kadmata. We have ancient machzorim coming from Catalonia. Shelo haya zeh bahem ki haya min hagam ke'eretz Svara v'rov hadvarim o b'kulam. There main custom, the ancient, old customs in Catalonia was similar to the customs in Spain, and therefore this whole idea of saying Kael Melech Ne'aman before Kriyat Shema, the whole issue of worrying about 248 versus 245 was a non-starter as far as Catalonia and Spain is concerned. Uvimei Rav Zrachya HaLevi, and from the time of Rav Zrachya HaLevi, HaMachzit HaShniya Shel HaMeyah HaShteinesre, the second half of the 12th century, Shiyatsa V'Vachmuto Meir Geronda V'Zachal L'Lmod Migdal Lunil, who as a student left Girona and came to Lunil, V'Amad Sham Zman Rav HaChazal Olasham, and he returned after studying in Lunil. He returned to Catalonia. He imposed the Provençal custom of Lunil in that land. So he introduced into the prayer book of Catalonia what was found in the prayer book of our community. And you know, that's quite similar to, you know, you think the notion that someone goes away to a yeshiva today and comes back and tries to change the custom of the parents is some modern a problem, but we see that here Rav Zrachya HaLevi was a student in Provence, and then when he went back to his hometown, thought that, after all, the place where he studied knew better than the hometown folks, and introduced these changes into the Catalanian, that is, the Spanish prayer books. And when the turn came to the Ramban, in the early days they didn't have this custom of saying Kael Melech Ne'aman, shebekol eretz Sfarad lo haya omer oto. Nowhere in Spain did they have the custom of adding these three extra words. V'nitkashev einav al shayu omer oto. And he got angry at the fact that this change was made in the ancient Spanish tradition. In addition to the fact that, after all, he was an opponent across all fronts with Rav Zrachya HaLevi, so this was just more fuel to the fire of his hostility towards Rav Zrachya HaLevi. Umegia al Svarov. And then he asked Rav Meir Todros HaLevi, who was the Rama, who was the last great pure Sephardic authority that was uncontaminated by Ashkenazic or French modes of reasoning, but the last purely Sephardic authority, and of course who was also the editor of the Torah, whatever we have in our current editions of the Torah, due to the extraordinary work that he did in collecting various different Torah scrolls and deciding what, by majority rule, what was the true text. So he's one of the great figures, but from our point of view of tonight, he was the last great purely Sephardic authority, opponent of rationalism and of the Rambam and all of that. And he also testified that there was no such Spanish custom of saying Kael Melech Ne'aman, and therefore the Ramban uprooted these changes that the Rav Zrachya HaLevi, the Bala Noah, tried to introduce into the Catalonian Sidur, and v'nitbatel ha-minhag al pi harav, and therefore on the strength of the Ramban's authority, this custom was abolished. V'nimchak min ha-machzovim, and erased from all of the Machzorim. ויחזיק הרב טובה לעצמו ונתן שבחו ודיה לקהל על שנתבאל השיבוש הזה על ידו. And the Ramban was very proud that this error had been, that the Baal HaMor had introduced into the Catalonian prayer book had been eliminated. Ad kan edutol shel harav ha-Me'iri. So this is the testimony of the Me'iri, who's of course arguing for the other side, because the Me'iri is arguing for the Provençal custom, but he's describing to us what had actually happened in the Spanish prayer book. It's important to remember that from this discussion, it's clear that the Ramban was not concerned at all. After all, the Ramban, being the one of the leaders of the Kabbalistic movement, was not at all concerned with the issue of getting the number 245 up to 248. The Midrash didn't bother him. Either it was not known, or he didn't accept it as authoritative. Or, as you know, he, in his famous dispute with the Christians, he generally says that Agada is a private affair and one cannot derive serious consequences from the Agadic literature. For whatever reason, here is a situation in which he was operating purely on the basis of what the ancient Sephardic ritual was, and they didn't have the custom of adding this. So I repeat, your question has, which was the cart and which was the horse, we don't know the answer to. We do know that at a certain period, they, in Ashkenaz and in Provence, people did say Keir Melech Ne'eman, and at a certain period, this Medrash appeared, which explains the 248 words in Shema as being correlated with the 240 limbs of the body, 48 limbs of the body, and that this addition of these three extra words were used to adjust it to.
Is a repetition by the Chazan, the last three words?
Next, place. Coming up. Okay. Coming up next.
What is the word? Maxwell?
Siddur.
Well, did they have?
Or sure. Lots and lots of ancient, beautifully inscribed, and sometimes decorated, and prayer books.
That's right.
All right, so now let's turn to the centerpiece, your question of what about the alternative solution. Let's turn to page Tashmalis 188. No, the Ramban in his dispute with Christians tried to remove authority from Agadic literature per se. He says that, you know, the Agada is an individual thing. Some rabbi makes a beautiful speech, it doesn't necessarily become binding on the entire community. It's not specifically directed to this issue.
And the issue of 248
the issue of 248 versus 245 didn't bother him.
No, but he did that to the Christians.
No. Okay, now, let's turn to what the Zohar has to say. So on the bottom of Tashmas, page 188, from, oh wait a minute, maybe we should read the paragraph before, because it gives a good historical summary of the time scale of all of these happenings. Kedei lahavik nechona et tochno shel ha'iluch ha'tula hazu. And, let's leave from there. In order to understand all of this evidence, we should set a timetable for all of the events that we're describing here. We shanan is kavim machzorim mi'eretz Catalonia haktuva mizan kedem kadmuta. The Me'iri first cites ancient prayer books from Catalonia. Shulo kalalu et milot keir melech ne'eman. They did not include keir melech ne'eman. Since these prayer books presumably predated the birth of Rav Zerachia Gerundi, they're at least as old as the second half of the 11th century. We don't know precisely the birth date of Rav Zerachia Halevi. since he was a fellow student with the Raiva, Hareshi Yesh Mikvoa is not Leidato Besmihot Shnat Chadis Ve'esvim. So he was born approximately around 1120. Etchnat Chazarato Le Gerona, and his return after his studies to Gerona, Keidut Harava Mariri Yesh Mikvoa Ba'ofen Kvali Ve'yoter, we can place it roughly Lashlisha Acharon Shel Me'at Shah Ashtemisu, the last third of the 12th century. Well, Kolpanim Lutneshna Chadisvei Shvonim L'Shesh, certainly before 1186, which is, according to Rabbi Solomon Ibn Verga, the death date of Rav Zvakya Halevi. Rav Meir Halevi Abulafia, whose opinion the Ramban requested, died in 1244. And the Ramban himself died in Israel close to the years 1270. As we know, the debate between the Meiri and the students of the Ravan in Provence was arranged, took place after the Ramban left Spain in 1267 and before 1315, which was the year of the death of the Meiri. So we see from all of this that before 1244, the Ramban had eliminated the saying of Kael Melach Neman in Catalonia, which Rav Zvakya Halevi had smuggled in because of his studies in Provence. And he returned the Spanish tradition, the ancient Spanish tradition, to its origin, not to say Kael Melach Neman. So you can see that from the middle of the 12th century, this whole topic was debated in Catalonia, and after the Provençal custom had invaded it, and after it was destroyed, according to by the authority of Rabbi Meir Halevi Olafia from Tolotuya, who was the father of the ancient Sephardic traditions. At any rate, until the days of the Baal Amor, who returned to Girona in the last third of the 12th century, this wasn't known at all. The statement of Kael Melech Ne'eman, the addition of these three words, won't make one. Now to come to Harvey's point, for that we will be dissolved, which is the main point of tonight. La'od varim ha'edu, yesh l'dok et ha'keta she'b'zoha chadash v'midrash ha'ne'eman l'ruf. We should examine what it says in the midrash ha'ne'eman of l'ruf. Patach rab Yehuda v'amar, v'ot tehi l'sharecha. Let's read the whole passage from Mishle, since it's beautiful. We'll start from the beginning of the third parak of Mishle. It says, B'ni Torati al tishtach u'mitzvotai yitzor bidecha, ki orach yamim u'shnot chayim v'shalom yosifu lach, chesed v'yemet al yazrecha, k'sharem al gargarotecha, katveim aluach bidecha, u'mitzachem v'sechel tov v'enei Elohim v'adam. B'tach el Adonai v'chol libecha, al binatcha al tish'an. V'chol drachecha da'ehu, v'hu yiyasher okotecha. Al tehi chacham ba'enecha, yara et Adonai v'sur mira. Rif'ut tehi l'sharecha, v'shikoy v'yatzmotecha. It will be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Kaveh et Adonai mehonecha, umerishit kol tvootecha, v'yimalu asamecha sava, v'tiroshi kavecha yugos. So the Zohar embellishes on this passage that v'chut tehe l'sharecha v'shikor liatzmotecha, v'hatara hu refu'a l'gof. It's a remedy for the body, for the atzamot, and for the bones, for olam hazeh u'olam haba, both in this world and in the world to come. The Amar Rabbeinu Yehoi, Amar Rabbeinu Achya, the Kriyat Shema Reish Mem Chet Tevot, the 248 words in Kriyat Shema, ki minyan evarav shel adam, v'hakarei Kriyat Shema ketikuna, kol eiver ve'eiver, notel teva echat u'mitva peva. Each word of the Kriyat Shema will take each limb in your body will take one word of the Kriyat Shema and be cured by it. V'da v'chut tehi l'sharecha. That's what it means, that this will be a cure to your neighbor, and health to your neighbor. Adahachi, while this discussion was going on, Matahu Yanuka, La'imi Gorucha Yatir Kamayo. Our friend, the child, whom we met last week, came in from the street and sat down before them. Shema Ilay Mili. He heard this discussion. Kam al Ragloi, he stood up, Amar, Bahalo Bakriyat Shema Ensham Ela Rejmen Heitevo. Isn't it true that there are only 245 words in the Kriyat Shema? Amar le Rabbi Chiya Tivri. Rabbi Chiya said, sit down, my son. Yativ, Amar le Bri, Shamit Nehai Midi. Son, have you heard anything about this serious problem? Amar kach shamana mayava. This is what I heard from my father. Rekriyat Shema yesh reish ben chet tevot, chaser tlat. There are 248 words missing three. Levinyanei verav shel adam. My takante. How should this be remedied? Tekniu shehei shliach tzibur chozer shalosh tevot. That the shliach tzibur should repeat the last three words. Umeh, and what words does the shliach tzibur repeat? Hashem elokechem emet. Kidei lahashlim ramach tevot al hakahal. And that there should not be more or less than three repeated by the Shliach Tzibur. Rabbi Yehuda came in and asked, what are you talking about? And they repeated to him what the child said. Amar vadai, hachi amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Nuri, Rabbi Yossi ben Dadukimus, Mishmed Rabbi Akiva, Hasidim harishonim, tiknu Kriyat Shema keneged Aserat ha-divrot, u'kenegel minyanei v'rav shol adam, v'chasru mehem shalosh l'minyanei v'rav shol adam, tiknu sh'yei shliach tzibur chozer u'mashlim otam. U'ma'ninu Hashem elokechem amin. So, the Zohar offers this as an alternative solution. The problem didn't bother the Ramban or the previous scholars in Ashkenaz, but in Sfarad, but now the Zohar's solution to all of this is that you, instead of saying Keil Melech Ne'eman, adding three words at the beginning, the Shliach Tzibur adds, repeats three words at the end. In fact, he's not quite repeating three words because he's saying Hashem Elokechem from the Kriyat Shema and adding the word Emet, the beginning of Emet Be'amuna. So, and of course, that's the custom now in most synagogues all over, that we say Keil Melech Be'eman if we are davening the Yechidut, if we're Ashkenazic, and we say Hashem Elokei, the Shliach Tzibur repeats Hashem Elokeichem Emet to add these three words. And the issue now is Professor Tashmaz claims that this is a innovation that the Zohar introduced that hadn't existed before, namely to avoid this problem, which was sort of didn't bother the Ramban, but nevertheless remained unresolved. How do we equate the missing three words? The child, the famous child, came to the rescue and offered a novel solution, namely that the Shliach Tzibur repeats three words or says three words at the end rather than the Keil Melech Ne'eman at the beginning. And now, but Professor Katz, No. He doesn't have that at all. There's no Keil Melech Ne'eman in Spain, but he has introduced what Professor Tashma claims is a new technical innovation, a resolution of this problem by adding three words at the end instead of adding three words at the beginning. And now, the next item on the agenda is...
That would be to avoid a hapsaka.
Well, there are all kinds of problems. The not saying it at the beginning is to avoid a hafsaka.
Yeah.
Saying it at the end itself raises a problem because, after all, kol omer shma shma, if someone repeats the shma, he's to be removed or reprimanded. And the question is whether this repetition at the end doesn't raise some problem. It's not a question of hafsaka, but it's a question of repetition. Look, the Chazan is saying it, but the Chazan already said it. He came to the end, he said, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and then he says, Hashem Elokeichem Emet out loud. Yes.
Well, maybe he's not supposed to say it twice. He doesn't have to say it twice.
He has.
But if he doesn't say it twice, then he's not adding up to 348. Right. 248.
Right.
At any event, let's focus on several points here. One is Professor Tashma is trying to supplement Professor Sharlin's dating of the Zohar or the writing of this particular thing to say that this was an innovation introduced by the Zohar in response to the tension that was created in Catalonia because of the fact that the Ramban had rescinded the form introduced by the Zerachia Levi to match up the 248 with the 245. And this was a novel thing introduced by the Chai. Yes.
But if the Zohar is a, so to speak, unitary text, how could it come to answer this problem out of sync with the other stuff?
Out of sync? How's it out of sync with anything?
Isn't the Zohar that we initially earlier than the Ramban?
No.
It's
later.
Okay.
Now, the what Professor Katz points out in his article is that, in fact, this, and this is one of those main points,